Good morning. Today we are looking at this chapter 8, I Speaks, in the book The Mystical Eye by Joel Goldsmith. He begins with this: within each one of us there is a presence, something more real than anything we can know, with a vision beyond our vision. This it is that is living our life for us. Too often, however, because we are not aware of the presence, we are determined to live our own life, to make our own decisions, and to rely on our personal wisdom, judgment, or strength. But that is only because we have not yet come into the actual experience of this that is within us. Before this presence makes itself known to us, there usually comes a period in which we recognize that it exists. On the metaphysical and sometimes on the spiritual path, the student can believe this only because it is told to him by a teacher who has experienced it, or because in the scriptural writings of the world he has read that it exists. In one way or another, regardless of how it is brought to our attention, there must come an awareness that there is a presence within, a he that is greater than he that is in the world, a spirit. With this knowledge comes the continuous recognition that it abides within us, that it walks beside us, that it is our vision, our guidance, and our direction. There must be an abiding in that truth until the experience comes to our conscious awareness. When it does, it speaks, very much as we might imagine the Master speaking. Fear not, I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you to the end of the world. It often speaks in the word I. It is I, be not afraid. And it continually brings to our awareness the fact that we are not walking the earth alone. I first felt this presence, or became aware of it, in 1971 or 1972. And I didn't know what it was. But I was talking to my spiritual teacher, and he let me know I was feeling the presence. Sometimes I was just walking along on the sidewalk, and I would feel this presence come over me. He says, sometimes we feel that when we acknowledge God in us, or the Christ indwelling, that we are indulging in duality, but this is not true. It cannot be explained logically any more than God can be explained, but the truth is that this I within us, this presence of God, does not make for duality because it is actually the self of our being. The self and you are one, but it is greater than you. Can you not see that what is invisible, the source of your inspiration, the source of your life, the cause and the creative principle of your life, even though you are one with it, is greater than you. It is greater in the same sense that we speak of the branch of a tree, and the tree as if they were two. But a branch of a tree and a tree are not two. They are one, one tree, and the tree includes the branch. So God includes individual being, just as the whole tree includes the branches. There's no such thing as the life of a tree and the life of a branch of the tree, because the life of the tree is the life of the branch, so long as they are one. But from the moment the branch is severed from the tree, that life withers. So, God includes individual being. The human being who sees himself separate and apart from God is withering, going toward his 70 years and 10, a few years less or a few years more. But everyone must learn that there are adjustments that take place in the life of every individual as this thing called time goes on. He must realize that he will not always have his friends, relatives, parents, or children, because in the human scheme of life, where the human being lives as a branch separate from the tree, there is birth and there is death, and the very birth itself is the forerunner of the death that is to come. There is only one way in which this can be overcome, and that is to realize, since we are a branch of the tree, one with the tree, we have no branch life, no life that has a beginning, no life that has an ending. We have the infinite and eternal life of the whole tree. Because of our relationship to the tree, a branch that is one with the tree, we have no personal responsibility, no personal life. We have the life which is God. A branch could say, I and the tree are one, but the tree is greater than I. And so we can say, I am one with the life which is God. Yet the life which is God is greater than any of its branches. It is even greater than the sum total of all its branches. To bring this relationship into active expression in our lives, there must be a specific act. Now, he talks about this in many places. Specific act. When the prodigal realized his situation as separate and apart from his father, when he realized to what a state his desire to be something of himself had brought him, he got up and started the journey back to his father's house. He did not continue sitting there. He got up and started back. And here's the specific act. There comes a moment in our lives when we realize that we have lived as human beings, cut off from our source. We have been the branch separate and apart from the tree of life. When we realize that, we perform an act. This act is described in Scripture as repent and turn yourselves. It is an act that we consciously make an about-face and declare within, I have been living separate and apart from God. I have been living the life of a human being, living by bread and water and air. I have been living by external means. Now, I must return to the Father's consciousness. And I realize consciously that from now on, I am fed from the eternal spring that is within me. I am fed by the bread of life, the staff of life, which I am. I draw from within, from my Father's storehouse, from my Father's consciousness. As we abide in this truth, there comes an experience. It may come with an assurance from within. I have never left you. I have never been separate or apart from you. I have walked with you every step of the way, awaiting your recognition. Long have I awaited you. Long have I awaited your awakening. Long have I awaited your return. Long have I awaited your recognition. Look within and find me, for I am within you. I am the very fabric, the very source of your life. Be not afraid. It is I. The I that is speaking to you is the I of that army that is marching toward you. The I that is your abiding place, your dwelling place. In the I of the being of your friends and of your foes, I dwell in you and I dwell in them. Recognize that there is one divine selfhood, the Father of all. And you will soon see that the only enemies you ever had existed of your own belief in a selfhood apart from me. I am your staff of life. I am your wisdom. I am your bread, your meat, your wine, your water. But I am this in all men. I am this in the midst of your friends and of your foes. And I am this in the midst of all. Recognize me in the midst of all, and then you will find that I am in all. And I greet you through all. I took that principle with me one time and practiced it wherever I went. And I found that it did respond. In particular, I was at a coffee house or a diner, and I ordered my food and a cup of coffee. And the waitress was exhibiting more than just being a waitress. She brought my coffee and it was too hot to drink. So I took a little piece of ice out of the water and put it in my coffee to cool it down. I didn't think anything of it. Well, a minute later, here comes the waitress with a glass full of ice. She had been watching, I guess, from across the restaurant. So things like that were happening to me. The love of this presence was showing up. It was responding to my recognition of it. All right. I am not in the whirlwind. Therefore, recognize that there is no power in the whirlwind. The only power there is in I, that I that I am, which is the life of your being, the life of your friend's being, the life of your enemy's being. I am the life of all being. When this presence announces itself to you in an inner assurance that it is present, remember, this means not only its presence in you, but its infinite omnipresence. It is not announcing that God is present in you, separate and apart from all others. It is announcing that this I is present in you, present in me, present in him and present in her, present in it. In other words, you cannot finitize God. You cannot channel God to be in one person, in one place. When you recognize the presence of God, you are recognizing the universal presence of God. Before you enter your automobile, you are given the assurance from within, I am with you, and I go with you. Remember, this does not mean you, separate and apart from everyone else on the road. It means you are to recognize my presence, the divine presence, omnipresence, all presence everywhere. And in any particular moment, you can realize that presence. So it is that when the Spirit is announcing itself and its presence, it is not saying to me, Joel, I am present in you. No, it is saying, I am present. How tragic it would be if God could announce, I am present with you, Joel, and then leave out everybody else. Such a thing is not possible. When the Father assures you, I am present with thee, I go with thee wherever thou goest, I will never leave thee, God is announcing his presence equally everywhere universally. He is announcing omnipresence, the presence in you, the presence in those near and those far, because there are none near or far. All this universe and all its people are embraced in your consciousness. My consciousness is infinite, and I embrace in my consciousness the Jews and the Gentiles, the Occidentals and the Orientals, the Africans, the Asians, and persons of all types and places and kinds. I embrace in my consciousness Americans, Canadians, Russians, French, and English. I embrace in my consciousness this entire universe, because my consciousness is infinite. I can close my eyes and instantaneously hear within me the peoples of all races and all ages, past, present, and future. My consciousness is large enough to embody all of these. And therefore, if the presence of God is with me in my consciousness, then the presence of God is with everyone and everything in my consciousness. And nothing exists outside of my consciousness, for my consciousness is infinite. Therefore, all the God consciousness is my consciousness individualized. And that consciousness embraces all there is in the universe that constitutes the world, and the worlds beyond worlds, and the worlds of outer space. If these were not embodied in our consciousness, we could have no knowledge of them. but because they are embodied in our consciousness, we will eventually know all about them, just as we are discovering the secrets of outer space. Why are we now attaining the secrets of outer space? Because these secrets are not in outer space. They are embodied in our consciousness, and we are discovering them there, that they are being revealed to us there. Every person who is working with problems of outer space is working with something that is within range of his own consciousness, or he could not be aware of it. Therefore, outer space is in our consciousness, and be assured, God is also there. There may be no church in outer space, I would not know, but God is in outer space. There's no place where life is not, no place where spirit is not. Why? Because all that exists, exists in consciousness, and that consciousness is mine, and that consciousness is yours. The Master said it in these words, "Thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. We are all embodied in the divine consciousness, which is God." Our awakening to this truth brings it into conscious experience. "I am with you" means "I am with all," but 1,000 will still fall at your left and at my left, and 10,000 at our right, until they awaken to the presence of me, the presence that I am, the presence that is within them. As each individual awakens to that presence, that individual in some measure becomes free, free of the limitations of mortal sense, free of the limitations that would set one person apart from another, or one person's interest apart from another. I, in the midst of you, am where you are. I, in the midst of you, am where your friends are. I am where your enemies are. There is no place, no time, no space, no person where I am not. Be not afraid, it is I. Whether you are looking into the face of your friend or the face of your foe, whether you are looking into the face of a placid lake or of a raging storm, be not afraid, it is I. Omnipresence, omnipresence. There's no power in the whirlwind, no power in the storm, no power in the problem. I am there. I am the only power. Besides me, there are no powers, and I am omnipresent. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Always remember that in my house, in this divine consciousness, there are many mansions. Remember that I, in the midst of you, go to prepare a place for you. Whether you remain at home or leave home for business, marketing, or shopping, I am there. I am there to prepare a place for you. You bring this I into tangible expression only in the degree of your conscious awareness of it. There must be action. There must be conscious action, conscious recognition. Repent, turn yourselves, and live. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. action, 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 an activity of consciousness. And as your consciousness is active in truth, with truth, through truth, you will find that the truth active in your consciousness becomes the very fabric of your new life. All right. You must learn to live as if there were no yesterdays, no mistakes, and no sins yesterday. You have to live as if yesterday has passed. Just as you mark off the date on your calendar or pull off the sheet of the month gone by and throw it into the wastebasket, so do you have to tear up your entire past consciously and actively and live as if today were the only day given you to live. If you try to relive yesterday, you will be reliving its mistakes and errors. So you might as well make up your mind to let bygones be bygones. Let yesterday go. Live as if this were the day the Lord had made, and no other. Only this day is made, not yesterday, not tomorrow. Yesterday is not made, and tomorrow is not made. Our mistakes are over and done with. Our sins are over and done with. Our fears are over and done with. Now, now is the appointed day. Now is the day in which I recognize the Spirit of God present within me. God in the midst of all, I greet the God in them, and they in turn recognize the God in me. Now that's what happened to me at that restaurant and at a bookstore and on a bus and a lot of places in the city. Without meditation, such an unfoldment as this cannot come. It cannot come from the air. It cannot come from outside. It has to come from within. But if it is to come from within, how can it come if there are not periods of quiet, rest, confidence, and assurance? Periods of listening to this I that is in the midst of us. How can we be taught of the Spirit if we do not sit down to commune with that Spirit and let it reveal itself to us in wisdom, in truth, in life, in love? I underlined this heading because it's just so perfect. The activity of meditation within changes the without. Meditation is an activity. It's not a laziness, physical or mental, even though others looking at us in meditation may think we are trying to escape the world. We are not trying to escape from the world. We are trying to meet the reality of the world that which is within us. Outside of us, the picture is always changing in accord with the changing of our consciousness. But the world outside will never change for the better if there is not something from inside to bring it about. And that something is the recognition there is a presence, and this presence is within me, to instruct me and to give me light. Always comes down to conscious awareness of the presence. Just as the life of the tree is flowing up through the trunk and out into the branches, so is the life which is God flowing universally in the invisible, and yet I can feel it pouring into me, the branch, individually. As it pours into me as a branch, so too it is pouring itself into all those out in the world who are also branches, giving them newness of life, which in time will appear as leaves, buds, blossoms, and finally fruitage, rich fruitage. A branch cannot bear fruit of itself. A branch can bear fruit only by virtue of its oneness with its source. I of mine own self can do nothing, but by my turning within, the Father instructs, feeds, guides, directs, and protects me, goes before me, walks beside me and behind me, above and beneath, for this I that is within me is omnipresence. It rides the plains, it rides the submarines, it rides the ships, the trains, the automobiles. It is omnipresence. It is omnipresence within me and within you. Wherever I may be, and wherever you may be, I in the midst of me am the life of all being. I in the midst of me am the safety, the security, the peace, the prosperity, and the joy of all being. I glory not in the fruit on my tree. I glory in the Spirit of God in me, which is the fabric of the fruit which is appearing. I glory not in outer prosperity or health. I glory in the essence which fills me, this divine presence, so that I can spend what I have today and be renewed. I must give, I can share all that my Father gives me, and yet retain within myself the presence, the substance, the staff of life, which in its season appears outwardly as still another message, another dollar, still another trip, another healing, still another something or other. Always within me is the essence, substance, fiber and fabric of that which is to appear externally. And our conscious recognition of this truth is what makes available to us the presence of the Spirit of God within us. Turn from the problem to I. Whenever a problem arises in your experience, or the experience of someone turning to you for help, do not try to search in your mind for a solution. Instantly turn away from the problem in the realization that this I within is spirit, and it is this spirit that is the solution to all problems. Wait in your meditation until you have the feeling of this presence, and then release the problem to it and let it go. Do not dwell on the problem. See in what way I, the Spirit within you, will solve the problem. I will go out and do whatever work is necessary for you to do, work which you could not outline, which you could never conceive of, and which you could never believe. You could not do it, and you could never give any advice that would bring it about. All you can do is turn from it in the realization that I within you is the solution of the problem, and then wait in your meditation until you do feel that presence. When you do, loose the problem, let it go. Do not let the problem come back into your mind. Keep it out of your mind. You have released it onto the I that you are, the I that is within you. Then, a day or two or three days later, you will watch how it has solved the problem in a way that you could never have understood or accomplished. That's the magic of the whole thing. Once upon a time, I like this magic idea. And so I would pray, show me the magic, and then get still. You know, it doesn't matter what words you use, so long as you are releasing the problem and getting still so that I can teach you. And that's what we do. Whatever words you use, whether you say, Father, I'm going to stand stock still. You speak, for thy servant heareth. Or whether you say, show me the magic, and then get still. It's the same process, that of turning within and listening. And in the turning within, that presence will meet the problem. Any problem. It will solve it. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Where two or more are gathered in the recognition of this I as omnipresence. When we meet together and we are in the conscious remembrance that I am in the midst of me, meaning I am in the midst of you, I am in the midst of all others, then we are the two or more gathered in the name, I, the name that I am. It would make no difference where we were, in an infinite way class, at a supper, at a picnic, if we were consciously aware that the presence of I in us is the presence of I in everyone, we would be the two or more gathered together in that name, as long as we continued to abide in that realization. You can see the miracle and the magic of this. I cannot be envious of the I that I am, even if the I that I am is you. I cannot steal or want to steal from myself, and so when I recognize that myself is you, I cannot take anything from you. And this recognition we share with one another. Why? Because it is the self. Sharing with the self. Two or more gathered together in the one name I. I in the midst of us. There could be no fighting at any level, no discord, no inharmony, if there were the constant recognition of I. It is I here, I there, and it is the same I, for we are one. Once a day, here's an instruction. Remember consciously to release God in the sense of releasing Him from any responsibility for the evils of the world, whether they are the evils that have come nigh your dwelling place or anyone else's, or the collective evils of the world. Remember to release God in the sense of realizing consciously no evil has its source in God, and nothing that does not emanate from God has power. That's a good line. Nothing that does not emanate from God has power. In that same meditation, release all mankind from the penalty of their sins. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They may be the sins of friends or the sins of foes. They may be the sins of your nation or the sins of another nation. But always remember, there must be a release, and it must be a conscious activity within you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them as I would be forgiven. Whatever error still lurks in me, Father, forgive me, for I do not do it consciously or willfully. In this way, then, in releasing God from the responsibility for the evils of the world, we take all power out of the erroneous or evil nature of the world, because the major power it has comes from a universal belief that God is the cause of the world's discords and woes. Therefore, when we release God from that, it is as if we were releasing the power of evil into nothingness. I never did like that religious belief that this is happening because God is teaching us something. I don't know why God would have to teach us something, since God already knows all that we are capable of. What is He teaching? Well, this is a lesson on patience. That's why I'm in this full body cast after the accident. God is teaching me patience. That's a crock. It's not true. God doesn't punish you to teach you a lesson. Anyway, in the same way as we release every individual, we are fulfilling the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Forgive us in proportion as we forgive those who trespass against us. Okay? There must be a conscious release every day. I do not care whether we are talking of Americans, Russians, of the government of the United States, or of Russia. I do not care whether we are talking of Chinese, Spanish, or what not. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then you will find the release that you bring about within yourself. It is said that what we loose is loosed within us, and what we bind is bound with us. So it is that within ourselves we release God from responsibility. We find that we have released ourselves from these ills. As we release sinners from the responsibility for their sins, the sinners that we ourselves are released from our sins of omission or commission. in our human experience, it is impossible not to sin or make a mistake. We are sinning every day, bearing false witness against somebody or other, and this we do whether it is a friend or a foe. We bear false witness every day. In many ways we fall far short of that mark which is Christhood. But we are not forgiven our sins except as we forgive those who sin against us or against this world. Now, if you're aware of the heightened tension between Iran and the United States, if you're in Iran, you really must practice forgiveness of the United States. And if you're in the United States, you must practice forgiveness of Iran. Not by condoning some of their actions, either side. No, but by releasing them. Be not afraid. For it is I. In quietness and in confidence shalt thou realize that I in the midst of thee am mighty. In quietness and in confidence thou shalt realize, be not afraid. They have only the arm of flesh, carnal weapons. I in the midst of thee am mighty. And I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Only be not afraid. Be not afraid. It is I. So, that's the chapter I speaks. And you see what he's doing, slowly, a little bit here, a little bit there. He's pulling your attention away from error, because you are releasing everyone, anyone that has produced error. And slowly he's turning your attention to this presence within, this omnipresence within. And by turning your attention to the presence, he pulls you out of error and into truth. Truth. I am the truth that will set you free. Slowly, slowly, we turn from the problem to the presence. Son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. So within you, within your consciousness, is omnipresence, all presence everywhere is within you. And we need to learn, or we will learn, to live in and through this presence. And now we all know how to walk around, run if we're in a hurry, in this human form. will learn how to walk in our omnipresence, because there is a way to walk in that presence which you are. There's a way to talk from that presence. There's a way to listen and think from that presence. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord, so not human thinking. Thinking from that omnipresence. Now, what is that like? How does that feel? How do you walk in omnipresence? Well, it starts with your recognition that omnipresence is within. And once you recognize it, then you release any attempt to be something of yourself. And you embrace and abide in omnipresence. I'm looking at the dictionary for the word abide. To wait for, to be prepared for, to await, to watch. I will abide the coming of my Lord. I make it a practice every morning before I sit down to meditate to say something like, I offer myself to Thee, to build with me and to do with me as Thou wilt. Then I can sit down to meditate, not as a leader, but as a follower. I follow Christ. As for me and my house, we follow Christ. Now that does not mean a human being is going back and looking at the words that Jesus uttered and then trying to live by them. No, that's all nonsense. What I'm really doing is surrendering. I'm getting myself out of the way, letting it step aside. And then, like the dictionary says, I wait upon the Lord. I await that presence. I invite that presence. I surrender and let that presence take over. In this way, I live, yet not I. Christ, the presence, liveth my life. Okay? That's what it's all about. You don't go back and try to have an experience with a person that lived 2,000 years ago. No, you have a brand new, fresh experience of the presence living you now. And that presence brings you life, love, abundance. It is the Father's good pleasure to do this for you, but not for you alone. It's the Father's good pleasure to do this for every you. This is the Father's nature. This is the nature of omnipresence. And now we are learning to let it function, to let it take over. Christ liveth my life. Okay. Shakespeare says, to be or not to be, that is the question. Paul says, I live, yet not I, Christ liveth. And I say you must surrender. Get yourself out of the way so that you can become a beholder and behold this presence at work. Behold what it does, how it flowers, how it brings the fruit to your very door, actually to your very lap. Without this realized presence, you are the man of earth who is not under the law of God, and you do not receive the things of God. It is only when you come to the absolute conviction that the Spirit of God is with you, and the Spirit of God goes where you go, that you are fulfilling the promise. Those who have the Spirit of God are children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. You see, at long last, you have come to realize the spiritual life is not a human life with more abundance, or a human life with better health, or a human life with a better companion. The spiritual life is not a human life at all. It's when you are waiting, watching, beholding, that you catch a glimpse of this divine presence living itself, going before you to prepare a place for you. This presence lives you as you step aside and wait. Be still and know I within you am God. I within you am omnipresence. Think of that. Everywhere is within you. Every wind is within you. Every one is within you. I have meat to eat that ye know not of, and I will give it to you through grace. Yes, you are saved, provided for, lived by grace. It's not the works that you do, it's the grace of God that's living you. And so, my fellow travelers, it's by grace through you that this talk has sprung forth. And by grace, you can take the principles revealed, practice them, and wait, and behold, I come quickly. Thank you, everyone. God bless. And many blessings.